Blog Talk Radio.
The Rebecca Roth Show, where the light shines out of the darkness onto the elephant in the room.
The music that Blog Talk likes and YouTube does not like.
We found that out.
Yeah, anyway, you're listening to the Rebecca Roth Show. I'm Ramjet, your host, and in a minute I'll introduce Rebecca, though I think you probably already heard her. I can't believe another week has actually come and gone, and here we are on the Rebecca Roth Show, commercial-free, as far as I know. But now for the music that Fetzer hates.
Fasten your seatbelts. The foremost authority on 9/11, the best-selling author of Methodical Illusion, and a researcher extraordinaire, Rebecca Roth is about to step up to the microphone and launch into Reality Check, where the light will shine brightly upon the truth.
Well, thanks. I thought you were going to let that drum roll play out, a little music afterwards. It just stopped. Well, welcome to the Rebecca Roth Show. And today we're going to have an interesting show.
You know, I think we are, because I noticed that before the show started, we'd already had 50 plus archive listens, and the show hadn't even been done yet. So somebody wants to listen to this.
Yeah.
Hope it's not the trolls.
Well, you know, it's funny because someone just sent me a Facebook message here at the very last minute, and it says, I hope you're not going to talk about Pete. He can't defend himself, laughing my, you know, what off. In a sense, we're going to talk a little bit about Pete, and the reason for that is we're talking about the alternative media, and we're going to talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, and just at the last moment when we were prepping for the show, the stupid. So yes, because Pete Santelli is going to be in the very last segment for sure, because we're going to talk about is what has happened in Burns, Oregon, and the Malheur Wildlife Refuge, and what all has taken place, and how the alternative media has come in and manipulated stories. And we have actually people that are really proven liars that people just can't admit that they fell for a lie. And so we're going to talk about a lot about the alternative media, but first you wanted to say something about the regular media.
Well, I think, you know, we need to figure out how we got to where we are. If you're going to talk about the alternative media, which is a relatively new phenomenon, you know, we need to discuss just a little bit about the regular mainstream media and how it precipitated a lot of what has developed in the alternative media.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for example, in the old days, if you're old enough like us to remember Walter Cronkite and Eric Severide and some of those news anchors, you know that in order for them to put out a story on the air, and this is back in the day when there were, you know, two or three or four networks, maybe only three, I suppose, you know, they had to fact check things pretty well. I mean, they didn't just run with whatever came into their head. They really did a serious amount of legwork behind the scenes, maybe not the anchors, but, you know, certainly their news teams did this. And I had an opportunity once many years ago to be on a cruise with Walter Koblenz. Now, those of you who don't know who he is, and I didn't at the time, Walter Koblenz is the producer of the movie All the President's Men. And it was up for an Academy Award in 1976 and probably would have won, which would have given Walter an Oscar, except Rocky won and Sylvester Stallone got it instead. But this was kind of a small, intimate cruise with, you know, just 100+ passengers on it. So I saw him a lot and I got to know him pretty well. And one of the questions that I asked him was why in that movie there was so much time and effort spent in with Robert Redford and Dustin Hoffman, you know, running down leads and checking facts. And he says, because Carl Bernstein demanded it. Now, Bernstein and Woodward were the ones that had written the book, All the President's Men, from which the movie was based. But if you're familiar with that movie, you know, it was about Watergate and about Nixon and about trying to find out, you know, what happened in that. And they were kind of going nowhere with it. But Ben Bradley, who was the editor at the Washington Post, wasn't going to post anything in the newspaper that wasn't fact-checked, double-checked, triple-checked. And then he also had a good feeling about. And so, you know, they would do this and they would run down these leads and they weren't getting anywhere. It really wasn't until Deep Throat kind of pushed them in the direction that they needed to go. He could have given them specific information, but he wasn't going to go on record as saying, you know, I'm Deep Throat and this is what, you know, should have happened. And so they had to do the work themselves. And I thought that's just a really interesting aspect of how the media in the 70s, you know, really wanted to get the truth and get to the bottom of the truth. And then you contrast that with what happened with what's his name, Dan Rather and Mary Mapes, where they had a story that they wanted to push regarding George W. Bush and his career in the military. And they just pushed it out the door. And it turns out that a lot of the documents that they had been forged, fabricated. It wasn't true, and they didn't do their homework. But their message was more important than the facts. And as a result, it cost Dan Rather his job. I mean, you know, we know who Walter Cronkite is, and, you know, maybe even our kids know who Walter Cronkite is. But I dare say that down the road, people aren't going to know who Dan Rather is because he discredited himself because he released a story that wasn't true.
Well, and then after that, we got the 24-hour news cycle. And one of the things that we've noticed, and you know, especially me, because if there's an airplane incident like the MH370, I park myself in front of the television and literally listen to everything. I mean, when MH370 disappeared, I said, planes don't disappear. You have to understand that the engines ping back to the manufacturer. They're under satellite view, and they don't, especially an aircraft that big, they don't just disappear. But what I saw on CNN is what I was watching first, because they had full coverage for months on it. And because they were 24 hours, and that was the only a dog and pony show that they wanted to cover. They didn't, I mean, anything could have happened around the world. And all you were hearing was about the MH370, the aircraft that disappeared. Even it got to the point where Don Lemon, I will never forget this because I was screaming in front of the television, was saying that that airplane probably flew into a black hole and just disappeared as if it was flying in space, deep space somewhere. I cannot believe this guy has actually just said that. And he said it more than once. But what I saw was when that airplane turned around to go back toward Kuala Lumpur, where CNN and all the media cut off the map was Diego Garcia. And the first thing I did was thank remote control takeover, just like on 9/11, how much fuel's on board. Well, they had enough to get to Beijing and circle. So you have a more padding of a fuel than you need to just get to some, from A to B, because you always are prepared for an accident on the runway or bad weather or something that has closed the airport. So you have to go to an alternative. And you always have fuel to do that. Always, always, always. Nobody goes without enough fuel. They did have enough fuel to get to Beijing plus their pad. I turned around and I mapped it out. They had plenty to get to Diego Garcia. And I just thought, oh, something or someone was on that plane that some intelligence agency wanted. And I'm still sticking to that, out of the way, by the way.
But you raised a really interesting point, because it was when CNN came onto the scene in the mid to late 80s and then followed by Fox News that you had the 24-hour news cycle. And that automatically changed everything that we were used to, because they had to present whatever came into their head at the time. And it's gotten worse, precipitously worse over the years, because they just say stuff and dumb stuff like what Don Lemon said. And I think as you watched that particular MH370 story, there were a lot of really crazy things that were, you know, theories that people had that they just wanted to, you know,
oh, yeah, the captain had a girlfriend and was having an affair. And it's just really weird that Richard, crazy aviation specialist, had actually just flown with the co-pilot. And there had a film from him you know, having met with this guy a month or 2 weeks before, and there was just weird, I don't know, coincidences. I'm not sure what to call them, but yeah, but they've done that with the Michael Brown, you know, shooting, all of these police versus black or white people that are being shot by the police for one reason or the other. And so there, you start to see then that they'll say anything, and they're really usually pushing an agenda.
Well, but they lowered the standard, yes, of what we were used to.
But here's the thing. What we've now got is this alternative media. This is like Alex Jones and people that just do YouTube. So I'll include, you know, people that are just doing YouTube radio shows every day, you know, like they want to be like Alex Jones, or they want to be like Howard Stern. And they're just sitting there with a mixer, maybe, or just a computer and a microphone. And
or maybe just a telephone.
Or just a telephone, yeah, and that's the case sometimes now with the iPhones and the smarter phones. But here's the difference between the mainstream media and the quote-unquote alternative media, is that if the mainstream media would have attacked me personally like the alternative media did, they would be held responsible. I'd be a multimillionaire now for suing them for making the craziest accusations. For instance, I'm a CIA agent, right? Sure. Just nonsense. Absolutely. I've been more than a dozen different people to these people, and they can't stand it. They just have to say bad things about me. I remember at Christmas time, I had, of course, family, Christmas, big events going on with family, huge attack by the trolls. And then I caught the flu from one of our kids that had the flu and brought it with them and didn't know it. Of course, you know, 3 or 4 days into their visit, you know, the flu shows up. And then after we get our child home, because we had to drive them home in a car, because I'm like, you're not getting on an airplane with ears stuffed up like that. Then we got home, and lo and behold, I got sick. And I went on and I saw that some of these conspiracy nuts were creating crazy stories that I was, you know, I on a CIA project, or I was hiding, or I was this or that. No, I was sick as heck. And but you know, here's the thing. The alternative people, and these are any lunatic with a microphone, they are not held responsible. They can literally get out and say anything about anyone that they want. And they're really... right now, but this is about to change, and this is where we're going to go by the end of the show. And if we run out of time, I'm going to try to tape record just a little additional, because I really want to cover all of this in one thing. So we're talking about the good. So first, let me just say something about the good. When I first released my first book, Methodical Illusion, I was on Coast to Coast AM. My book at that point, Within a week, maybe within 3 days, went to number 9 overall out of 8.5+ million books available on Amazon. That's a lot of people reading the book. Methodical Illusion magically wakes people up to something was wrong with the story the government told us about 9/11 by going through this novel that I wrote, and it is just waking up people, my goodness sakes. And they came forward with so much information. This is the good. Coast to Coast AM, Caravan to Midnight, Hagman and Hagman, and the Hagman Report. Their audience has been the reason I wrote The Methodical Deception, really, because so many people came forward. They knew things. They saw things. They have stuff. And the Terabyte of Freedom of Information Act stuff. And so then the second book, Methodical Deception, came out. So that's the good. And there are a lot of good. And unfortunately, the trolls attack them, too. I see the Hagmans have been suffering tremendous attacks from trolls.
Well, you know, just the fact that the mainstream media began to, you know, corrupt itself, and coincidentally, at the same time, an alternative media was able to come onto the scene. I mean, you couldn't do this back in the 70s or the 80s. You know, you needed to have the internet and all of the opportunities to be able to create an alternative media. Mm-hmm. But there were a lot of good that had come out of that. I mean, you talk about people, if you just go onto Blog Talk Radio, for example, and look at all mm-hmm. the shows and how they're very, very well segmented. You know, mass media, mainstream media can't do that. They can't segment their market to the same degree that the alternative media is able to do that. And so if you're interested in cooking, for example, French cooking, you know, there are shows on French cooking. These people are great people who have lots of information, lots of experience. They want to share it. And if you have an interest in that, you can go there. The health shows, you know, they're alternative. You know, some of them get a little out there, but for the most part, you know, they are things that you're not going to necessarily hear if you go to your MD.
Well, one of the things you'll find with, for instance, Blog Talk Radio and the alternative, some of the alternative places, Spreaker and some of the other places where you can just go like this and have a studio and do your show, is that they are whatever you're interested in, whether it's pet grooming or French cooking or, you know, celestial happenings or really esoteric things. There's stuff out there, and you can't find that on the mainstream media. So there is good there, and I love the fact that we have those choices, but there's a lot of bad. And unfortunately, because anybody, anyone can buy a microphone or just use their iPhone microphone and hook up to the internet, and they can say anything that isn't true about anyone. They can cook up any kind of crazy theories or conspiracies and convince weak-minded people. I call them weak-minded because you have to not be a thinker to believe some of these crazy conspiracies, as if no planes ever took off on 9/11. No, in fact, they did, and I have proof of that, lots of it. And so what happens is you get these people, and they have a following of other people that they are weak-minded and believe some nonsensical conspiracy theory. Now, I want to just bring out one of the craziest ones I've just followed, because I did follow a lot of stuff that was going on in Oregon, just because, of one, I thought it was a huge psyop. But here's the craziest thing I think I found so far on the Oregon thing, is that Lavoie Furnicum, I think I got his name right, Lavoie Furnicum was actually not really shot in the snow, that he was an inflatable doll. Now, seriously, there are a cult following of whoever put this out first on their YouTube. And what happens is people will put out these crazy conspiracies, and it makes all YouTubers look goofy. And then what's happened now that I find really interesting is that they put these out, and then they get copied, downloaded and copied and put up on other people's YouTube sites that want to be able to use Burns, Oregon, or the Oregon standoff or something like that. For instance, we have Pete Santelli, who went to Oregon, and we're going to talk about him later when we get to the stupid section, maybe a little in the ugly section too, but what's happened, and this is very important that people really understand, when you speak into a microphone and then upload it onto Spreaker or YouTube or Archive and Blog Talk or wherever, and you make threats or you step into something known as sedition, it can bite you in the behind. And we see Pete Santelli, Shemshili, right now sitting in a federal jail under federal criminal charges, and hopefully we'll have enough time. I have the sealed document listing the charges for all of those that were arrested so far up in Oregon. But what happens is you get these people, they're not responsible for anything they say. They can create any kind of lunacy, and then it can be sucked up by someone and promoted by others.
We see that really is the difference. I mean, when Dan Rather and Mary Mapes, you know, did what they did and kind of got off the rails a little bit and presented something that wasn't accurate, they were accountable for that. They both lost their jobs. Dan Rather no longer is at CBS, and Mary Mapes is no longer a producer at CBS. And that was the price they had to pay for doing something or saying something that was out there.
Mm-hmm.
And and that's good. I mean, that's a good thing, because people need to be responsible for what they think and what they say and what they express. But on the alternative side of the coin, you find that there is absolutely no accountability for anything. And so that's why you can find literally any theory about 9/11. And trust me, we've heard them all. They're out there, and some of them, you know, have elements of validity to them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're not being perpetrated by people who are necessarily trying to send people down the wrong avenue. I mean, they just don't fully understand it. And there may be these elements of truth, but there are others who clearly have absolutely no idea what they're talking about, mm-hmm. but they're more than happy to talk about it.
Well, one of the reasons for that is that the way YouTube is set up is that you can monetize. I don't know how to do this because it's not what I want to do. I just want lots of people want to download or have it on YouTube as opposed to Blog Talk Radio or Spreaker or some other platform. So that's why I did this. But a lot of people, they monetize their YouTube channel. So they get paid every time we click on their channel. So what do they want to do? They want to have a shock value. A lot of people, I saw some lunatics that put Burns, Oregon, and Rebecca Roth in there. And what they were talking about was something about, I didn't listen, about Burns, Oregon, but I'd never spoken to them. And actually, one of them was someone who begged me to go on his tiny little radio platform. And I was just too busy writing my second novel. Most people have never written two novels within 10 months, which I did. And now I'm working on the third, which hopefully will come out in March or first part of April. And they have no idea how much research is in a terabyte of information. I could not accept everyone's invitation to go on their small little internet radio show. But here's the thing that I found really interesting. When I didn't have time or didn't respond or couldn't respond to their invitation or their demand, in this guy's case, his demand that I go, he started bad-mouthing me. And one of the things he did in his YouTube title was put Rebecca Roth and Burns, Oregon. Now, I have not been to Burns, Oregon. I don't know anyone that was there. I don't really have much of an opinion, or I sure as heck didn't at the time he created this, because it was right at the first of the year and I was sick in bed with the flu, extreme. And so I have no idea what kind of BS, but I guarantee you it was. But what happened to me in the alternative media is when I didn't go on or I didn't respond or I just was just way too busy or sick, these people attacked me. They put my name in YouTube. Fetzer was one of the worst, and he blogged on me and he did YouTubes on me. And so that he would, when people were out looking for Rebecca Roth and what kind of information, I want another interview. And lots of people I know have listened to every interview I ever did. And they got new stuff out of everything. I tried to bring new stuff in. And as I was researching and uncovering things, I would do an interview and I would share it because, quite frankly, I thought that there was a chance that I could be targeted by the government. So I needed to get some of this information out there. So if that were the case, you would know why. And you guys could pick up the ball and go with it. So anyway, what I found is that these people, they do these things. They write these shocking titles for their YouTube to get money for every time you click onto their channel. And they don't care who they hurt or who they destroy. And that leads us into the ugly. And one of the things that I found from after actually Pete Santelli had made threats and attacks, and another friend of his from Talk Network, please do not tune in to talknetwork.com. If you have liked it on Facebook, please go unlike it. These are the people who have tried to hunt me down physically and had me killed in my family. And I'm not kidding. This is the ugly. We're talking about the ugly now. One of the people that Pete Santelli decided to attack, very much like he did me, ended up having her home, a map from Google Earth, pictures of her children that he stole off her Facebook account, her husband, herself, and her home, where this guy, Pete Santelli, apparently got on the air and asked his listeners to hunt her down and her kids and kill them, murder them. Now, that's ugly.
Now,
that's real ugly.
We don't know that Pete actually did this. This is what she claimed.
She said, that's all
and
I know.
So, we're just
I haven't taken the time to listen to your shows in
that format. But
exactly.
We have seen things that are much like this, where people just have absolutely no regard for the law, no regard for any of the consequences associated with that. And the problem with alternative media is once they say it, it never goes away.
Well, that's true.
It's mirrored
into other people's channels, blah, blah, blah. And it's out there. It's on YouTube. So what we have with YouTube associated with the ugly part of the internet and the ugly part of the alternative media are these trolls. And some of them, I swear, have to be 12-year-olds living in their parents' basement. Some of them I know are 30-year-olds, and they're high because I've actually had some Facebook run-ins with some of them from Michigan and that sort of thing that want to be Rush Limbaughs, and they're jealous that they can't get an audience because they're so jealous and full of hate that it comes across on their microphone. It comes across in their message.
It's more than that. Not only is Rush Limbaugh successful because of his ability to market what he does, but he's also a very intelligent man.
Yeah, that helps.
And the one thing I have found that is the common denominator with most trolls is that if their IQ is above room temperature, it is a remarkable feat.
Mm-hmm. No, that's very true. And so one of the things that I found, too, is when you have people in the alternative media where whether it's Pete Santelli's show or Talk Network or some of these other people that follow YouTubers. And now I follow some of the YouTubers, and quite frankly, one of my very favorites, I'm going to just give a shout out right now to one of my favorite YouTube people, and that is Dabu7, Dabu77, and Jay Knight. And those are all three him, because YouTube will shut his accounts down for one reason or the other, or the trolls will flag his accounts for one reason or the other. So some of those accounts will leave and come back later. But one of the things I love about him is he does a pretty good job. I know some people, he steals people's stuff. Well, you know what? He reports things that are happening, whether it's an earthquake or what's gone on in Oregon. And he does a pretty good job of reporting what's happening, what's going on,
And researching.
Yeah.
And the other thing about him is if he gets it wrong, he'll come back and admit the fact that, hey, you know, that wasn't correct. And let me correct what I had said.
For instance, with the steal that's going on in Oregon right now, I just watched a show that he's done. There are some people that are not arrested yet that were a part of setting up this whole ordeal with the Bundy family up in Oregon. One was Brandon Curtis, and the other one was a gentleman. Also known as an AKA of. His name is Blaine Cooper. He's also known by Stanley Hicks, I believe, and he's been there from the get-go. Both of those people left the compound, and I so far haven't seen that the FBI is looking for them. They certainly haven't been picked up, but Dabu picked up on that because these are the people who started this thing. And one of the things, hopefully I have enough time here, one of the things I want to share with you is some of the criminal complaint. This is a federal criminal complaint against all of those that so far have been arrested. It's a 32-page PDF that was put into the court by an FBI agent that was a special agent working on this. And so what we're going to talk about in this section when we get into this is called The Stupid. And the reason I say that is I think most of us remember how we felt when we saw these people that had taken over the wildlife refuge up on a ladder. What to me at the time, it looked like either a telephone pole or a cell tower. It ended up being a substation, an electrical substation. And they thought the feds had put up a camera to watch them. Well, and I did a little research on the type of camera, the company that owned the camera, why that camera might be there. And it was actually for security or quite possibly because these cameras are used for a couple things. Or check this out. Imagine this. At a wildlife refuge, was actually either there for security for the electrical substation or for monitoring the wildlife, lo and behold. And it had been there long before these Bundy people got there. But what we saw them was a federal offense, tearing it down and then destroying these cameras that they thought were monitoring them. So it looked kind of like to me they were a little bit paranoid. But here they were, they had occupied with arms, plenty of weapons, this wildlife refuge. And so one of the things I want to share with you guys, and we have about a half hour, so one of the things I want to share with you is some of the things that as I went through and read, this is an affidavit, and the purpose therein is to justify the federal criminal charges against the people who are now being held, Pete Santelli being one of them. But one of the things that I found was really interesting. This was by a special agent for the FBI call. Her name was Catherine Armstrong. And this is a public document pretty much now. It says here that persons identified by name in the photographs contained in this, wherein, she says, have been independently identified by a witness with knowledge or a law enforcement officer through motor vehicle records and or criminal history records. Now, what I thought the key words were, they had independently been identified by a witness with knowledge. We don't know who that was, but it could have been someone that was kind of working alongside of the federal government. We don't know. But here's another thing that I found really, really fascinating is that she lists here A. Bundy, Ritzheimer, O'Shaughnessy, Payne, R. Bundy, Cavalier, Cox, that's the woman, and Santelli, and other known and unknown individuals that they in fact did conspire to impede by force, intimidation, or threat the officers of the United States. Now, these would be the people who worked at the refuge and for the Bureau of Land Management and Fish and Wildlife people. So one of the things that I found that was absolutely mind-blowing to me, that I didn't really know this until I was looking through this document, 32 pages of criminal complaint, that on October 5th, Ammon Bundy and Ryan Payne visited the county sheriff of the Harney County, Dave Ward. And this was in October 5th, 2015. During a visit, Mr. Bundy and Mr. Payne told the sheriff, Ward, that he needed to protect the Hammonds from getting put back into prison. Payne and Bundy informed the sheriff that if the Hammonds spent one more day in jail, that there would be, quote, this is a direct quote, extreme civil unrest to a sheriff by Ammon Bundy and Ryan Payne. On November 12th, Mr. Bundy publicly posted a letter on a blog from the Bundy family to Sheriff Haney and Harney County Sheriff Dave Ward. And in his online blog, listen carefully, in his blog, he wrote, and this is now being part of the criminal case built against him, his blog. He wrote, and still it is still public viewable, she says, by January 26, 2016. In summary, the Bundy family claims that federal employees are abusing their position within the federal government to punish the Famine family. Several additional blog posts made on November 12th and later further state that it is the Bundy family position that the Hammond family has been illegally arrested. Well, I'm sure attorneys were involved, but the Bundys don't think it was legal. So what they are doing is they were writing blogs and they were posting this stuff. And note, October 5th is when they went there to the sheriff. And most people think this all started happening the end of December. And so another thing that I thought was really, really interesting is that on December 18th, now I'm a grandmother. I've got 7 grandkids and 5 adult children. So I know how busy I was on December 18th, 2015. A citizen, we'll just say, they just refer to this person as a citizen, was shopping at the Safeway, getting ready for Christmas, no doubt, in Burns, Oregon. And the citizen was wearing a BLM shirt. And it was confronted by 2 men, one of which has been identified as John Ritzheimer. The citizen then reported to law enforcement that she heard yelling, and when she turned around, they were yelling, "You're BLM, you're BLM," at her and pointing at her. That person further stated to citizen that they knew what kind of car she drove and would follow her home. He also stated that he was going to burn her house down. Ritzheimer and the second individual left the area in a black pickup truck with a black canopy and no visible license plate. Since that incident, the same citizen has observed a similar vehicle outside of her home, out of her residence. The following week, a second vehicle, described as a white truck, we've all seen a white truck lately, with a pink license plate and a big rebel flag sticker on the back window, aggressively tailgated this citizen, flashing their lights and driving erratically. This citizen also saw a black pickup truck outside of her home, or excuse me, outside of her place of employment early on the morning of Christmas Day. Well, this is when a lot of trolls attacked me, too, was Christmas Day, interestingly enough. So then we see that there was actual harassment going on before most of us out here in the alternative media land, where we are getting our information, probably don't even know that this kind of stuff was going on. Well, so you see, these are criminal threats that we have. Now, here's where it gets real interesting. Let's check the time here, because starting on this 32-page document of the criminal charges against these people involved was something I found really fascinating, and this is the stupid section. And I share this with you because when I read this, I realized that all of the conspiracy nuts and all of these people out there making accusations, and let me tell you this, not very many, but some of these people have been so hateful to me personally and other people that they claim were me, that some people have received emails, threats, and phone calls that are real ugly and very upsetting to every one of us, including me. But Pete Santelli, he's one of the worst for doing this. And the reason I want to bring this up is because this blew me away, starting on page 24 of the document. It talks about Pete Santelli and his YouTube channel, and this is absolutely, when I read through this and then I read through it out loud, I realized that if these gentlemen, I hate to say that word for them, but if these guys that are currently arrested that have been in possession and occupying a federal building or a compound, actually, it was more than one building, are not kept in there on the NDAA or the Patriot Act, it will be a miracle. Because of what I was seeing and hearing, law enforcement became aware of Santelli, and he has been in the Harney County, Oregon, since January 2nd, they say, in this criminal complaint. But the exact date of his arrival in this area is unknown. Santelli operates a channel on YouTube called The Pete Santelli Show. Santelli has posted video to the channel concerning the Hammond family. Here it is, keywords, calling for people to come to Oregon since at least December 27th, 2015. Santelli often streams a live video from his YouTube channel. Here's something else to pay close attention to. All video referenced to in this affidavit has been preserved by law enforcement agents via download. So every word Mr. Pete Santelli and everyone he has interviewed and everyone else on YouTube in the alternative media, if you're out there threatening or intimidating or calling up people to overthrow the United States government, look out. Because Pete Santelli is either, like a lot of people think, an FBI informant and will be released, or his mouth just got him a possible 6-year term in a federal prison. This goes on to quote from page 24 almost through page 32. Pete Santelli, every other word, Pete Santelli's YouTube channel, the name of this and the things that he did. On December 27th, it goes on to say, the Pete Santelli show that was titled Operation Hammond Ranch, Patriot All Call, a deployment to Oregon. In this video, Santelli mentions known armed occupiers, John Ritzheimer and O'Shaughnessy, and he states that they have, quote, put out an all call for all patriots to respond. It was a call to action and all patriots to respond no later than January 2nd to Oregon. Now, this goes on and it repeats, and I can't even, it's so much hem and haw, and they kept every and in there. But there are three paragraphs of Santelli making this call out. Now, he was actually recruiting. Now, think about that word recruiting when you put it alongside of ISIS or Al-Qaeda, because the United States government, through the NDAA and the Patriot Act, can put Mr. Santelli right there too for the same type of recruiting against the United States government that they have captured on his video using his own mouth and the mouths of the others that were there. Now, here's another one that I just loved, and I just want to share this. We have enough time? Yeah. In this next video they're talking about, Santelli says, quote, "Hey, ladies and gentlemen, I just want you guys to know. I want it stated for the record here, right here on the Pete Santelli Show." Santelli then turns and faces the camera directly, and he states, quote, "Hey, Stuart Rhodes, I tore up my membership card. I'm still an Oath Keeper, homie, huh? How does that work? I don't need your card. I don't need to pay your membership dues." Santelli then turns away from the camera and addresses others and says, quote, "I tore up my card. I tore up my card. I tore up my card. I'm still an Oath Keeper. See how that works?" Santelli then turns back to the camera and says, "You know what? Sue me. I got nothing. I got an ashtray and a freaking pocket." A-hole. He got a pocket and an a-hole. That's it. Sue me. Sue me. I'm an Oath Keeper. Can you imagine that? I tore up my card and it didn't blow up. It's amazing. End of quote. Now, the thing that's really interesting to me here is that these are the things that the FBI has put in front of a federal judge. And this is, it goes on to talk about several of the interviews that Pete Santelli had with Eamon Bundy and others that were there. And it is, from page 24 through page 32 is about 99% Santelli's interviews. And the names of the YouTubes that he used, live update from Burns, Oregon, hashtag as long as it takes. He calls up later on. He says in here, this is on number 48 in the criminal complaint, on January 5th, 2016, a video entitled hashtag as long as it takes was live streamed for several hours. The video started January 5th and continued to January 6th. It was posted on the YouTube channel Pete Santelli Show. The YouTube is filmed at or just outside of the wildlife refuge. The location of the video has been confirmed by federal wildlife officers from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. During that video, Santelli stated, quote, "We're not effing," and he said the four-letter word, "going nowhere." Santelli later stated, quote, "Here's what we need. I'm going to tell you something right now. Captain Joe, myself, I'm not armed. I'm armed with my mouth. I'm armed with my live stream. I'm armed with a coalition of like-minded individuals who sit at home and are on my YouTube channel and watching this." So guess who you people are? Guess who's watching you? Because there are pages from 24 to 32 that is starring the ultimate talk radio, radio mouth, and he's armed with his mouth.
Well, so ultimately what we have here is the ability to incriminate yourself and not really totally realizing that that's what you're doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, in a court of law, you've got the Fifth Amendment. You do not have to testify against yourself. But if you are an alternative media person and you spout off things that are either nonsense or totally untrue, or if, even in the worst case scenario, suborning insurrection or suborning
sedition,
you are creating a record for yourself that never goes away, because that's the way the internet works, that will allow the government to use that against you to incriminate yourself, even though you may want to at some later point say, you know, I take the Fifth. Too late.
It's all
already out there. and it can be used as evidence against you, as they would have said in Alice's Restaurant.
Exactly. And one of the things that, you know, I wanted to talk about this, because there are really good and there really are bad and ugly things on the internet, and then there are downright stupid things that people have done on YouTube. One, using the trucks, the heavy equipment, the backhoes and the graders and the building and the computers and all of the federal equipment that was used on camera. You know, not of all of it was using Pete Santelli's, but he ran there and he made himself be their media spokesperson. So he was in a lot of these pictures. And I want people to understand now, you can probably find this Google searching this, because it has it's a case number, and it's, you know, this is the original criminal charges, the federal charges. Keep in mind that every one of these gentlemen, I hate to say that word for them, my goodness, every one of these people that has been arrested can also be charged for additional things, including murder. So there is no stopping the federal government right now. My point is that when you're on the radio and you're on a microphone or you're YouTubing with your iPhone, be careful, be smart, don't be stupid, because this is a prime example of the federal government has not only been watching all of Pete Santelli's things since December 27th, so they've probably seen the shows he's done against me too. But not only have they seen that, but they see all of your comments. They see who his people are that are following him. Every single one of you that's been commenting, good, bad, or ugly, to Pete Santelli, the federal government's been watching and reading all that stuff too. So all this time, for that three and a half weeks, we were thinking, well, where's the FBI? Well, guess what? They were listening and watching and learning.
Just a little update on that. If you don't know, you know, the judge on Friday decided that six of these defendants, so to speak, would be kept in detention, that they were not going to set a bail hearing. Pete Santelli, however, his decision was deferred because he pleaded with his lawyer that he was part of the press. And so the judge is determining, you know, where she's going to go with this, and she'll make a decision later. But I have to tell you, listening to Pete Santelli, and for him to claim that he is part of the press, he's as much a part of the press as Caitlyn Jenner is a woman. You know, he may have a shirt and he may look the part, but deep down, there is no press. And he's not interested in telling the truth. He's interested in telling the Pete Santelli story any way he wants to see it.
And getting Pete Santelli's face in front of a camera.
And in doing that, you know, he may have managed to hang himself.
Could be. Could be. Here's another thing. This is near the very end. This is on page 30 of 32 in the criminal complaint, where this is number 53. On January 17, 2016, a video was posted to an internet video sharing website by the user Veritas13Fox, titled Press Brief, FBI Cam, and calling BS on ABC News. In this video, Santelli can be seen standing behind Finicum with Ritzheimer and another occupier at the main entrance of the wildlife reserve. The vest Santelli is wearing has a clearly visible Oath Keeper patch on the front. The vest also reads press on the back. The video depicts that just prior to the press conference, Santelli whispered something into Finicum's ear and then patted him on the back. After Finicum started, after Finicum stated that the property, this is the Malheur Wildlife Reserve, the property does not go back to the Bureau of Land Management. And then he stated, quote, it does not return to the federal government. Santelli then puts his arm around Finicum, standing next to him. And after Finicum spoke, Santelli addressed the media. And this is what he said. Lavoie's offered me the opportunity to come up and speak to the members of the press. My name is Pete Santelli. For those of you who don't know me, I've accumulated approximately 15 million minutes of viewing time on the stream. Total combined worldwide. And I want to let the mainstream media know that those that are not watching my stream or haven't been tuned into my show, shame on you, each and every one of you. For those people that have been following the mainstream media in Audible, still asking the question about 12, 13 days of being out here, people are still wondering what the core issues are here and on this land. Well, shame on you and each and every one of you, millions of dollars being spent. You have an obligation to communicate to the public. And unfortunately, you're filtering inaudible. The public is not well informed. So I guess Mr. Santelli wanted us to all click onto his GoFundMe account too after we subbed to his YouTube channel. My point in sharing this is that I was horrified, not that I'm a fan, the people are so stupid that they filmed themselves breaking the federal laws of this country, that they actually audiotaped and filmed themselves guilty of sedition. And if you don't understand the laws of this land, these are people that are talking about the Constitution, and yet they are guilty of sedition.
Well, but what they're saying, true, is that it's really their First Amendment right. And they think that their First Amendment right allows them to say or think anything they want. And that's just not the case. I mean, you do not get to film yourself or say or talk about breaking the law without coming to the consequences associated with that kind of behavior.
That's like fire in a theater.
Very much so. And so, you know, there is a First Amendment right to be able to use the alternative media to express opinions about things or to express facts about things.
Sharing information.
But you don't get to use or stand behind First Amendment rights to break the law. Now, you may disagree with the law, and that's perfectly fine. And there are ways in which you can go about changing the law. But breaking it usually isn't the best.
Well, here's the thing. What I saw when I read this through this the second time, and I saw various other people's YouTube channels I mentioned in this also, not just Santelli. He just has the majority of it because he came on the scene with his microphone and pushed other alternative media out of the way. He was very, very nasty to them, and some of them even recorded this, his behavior, on their channels. And I've seen some of it. So it's real. It's happening. I saw it happening on camera. But here's the thing. I sat that down and I remember thinking the first thing I thought, not only can these guys all be charged with the Patriot Act or the NDAA, indefinitely held in federal prison, but this is a huge strike against every one of us out here, every one of us. This is a great excuse for the federal government to take control of the internet and take control of the microphone I'm speaking on, Pete Santelli's microphone that he spoke on, and others, because you cannot break the law and get yourself in a federal criminal case. This case, this particular case, this is only, and one of the things in the first pages, she talks about the federal agent. This is only a portion of what they have against them. This is 32 pages of an affidavit to ask the judge for the arrest and the judge whether she will or will not set bail for these people, let them go. And of course, they're all facing trial. This is not over. This is not a game. And people need to understand that the privilege of having freedom of speech comes with some level of responsibility. And you cannot go call fire in a crowded theater and think that's freedom of speech. If you are a troll and you're living in your parents' basement, or you're just a weak-minded, uneducated person sitting there with a microphone, you can do what Pete Santelli did to himself by his mouth. He even said there, he has his mouth and he has you if you're following him. So if you haven't unsubscribed, you might consider doing that because you just fell into a federal trap because we didn't know this. I've been talking with people online, my IT gal that helps me on my Facebook stuff, and we've been listening and looking and watching. And here's another thing. Please use some common sense. Everything that the United States government or law enforcement does is not a conspiracy. Everything is not a conspiracy. These people are guilty of sedition, trespassing, and numerous other things. I mean, there is a 32-page criminal case built against them, and she says right in the front, there's much more than this. They could be held responsible for what happened to Lavoie Fernican. They could be held responsible. Lavoie Fernican was pulled over by the police, the Oregon State Police, and the FBI. He sat on the highway. Everybody can see this on the video for almost 4 minutes, maybe a little bit longer than 4 minutes. And then he took off going plus 60 miles an hour, trying to get away. He drove into at 60 plus miles an hour. You can tell he's going fast on the aerial camera. That he saw a roadblock and there were three trucks in the road. He had his choice of hitting one, two, or three trucks or going for the snowbank. And he tried to go through a 4 or 5 foot snowbank. It's hard to tell from the aerial vision of it, but I have a pretty good idea. There's a lot of snow there. When he got out of his truck, he did not look at this picture. He did not put his hands up in the air. He put his hands out like he's going to be an airplane. He's going to fly. So he could easily drop them down. He was found with a 9mm gun on his body. He had been running around town with a long rifle and at least one or two weapons attached to his body all the time. Those police officers, one of them, he almost ran over. That guy was trying to leave the scene. He figured the guy, that Lavoie, was going to hit one of those trucks. He was standing behind one. He didn't want to be run over by this guy crashing into it. So when he took off, the officer there that got hit, you can tell he got hit by the car, by Lavoie's truck. When Lavoie got out, he was almost knee-deep in snow. Now, I know that he's from an area where they don't get snow. I've been in an area that has 3 feet of snow on the ground. You can't walk very well. You sure as hell can't run. And so that was the case for the police officers as well that were going to try to stop him. He was fleeing from law enforcement. I don't care if you're black, white, red, or yellow. If you want to get shot, you want to stop your car. And before the police can come and get you out of the car, handcuff you, whatever they want to do and talk to you, you take off 60 plus miles an hour and drive down the road and see how they handle you, because that makes you look guilty. He did look guilty by running away. He was fleeing from law enforcement. Another law he broke. So, you know, people that are sitting there thinking that he was some angelic being, if he were an angel, he would have sat in the cab and he would have dealt with the officers in a polite manner. That's my opinion.
Well, in a little bit of time that we've got left, we just kind of wrap this up and just say that the alternative media is a blessing to all people who are able to use it correctly. Mm-hmm. It allows us to present information. It allows us to really use certitude in finding truth. It also allows us to find people who are like-minded. At the same time, it's a curse. And so our exhortation to all of you who are listening is no matter what side of the microphone you find yourself on, use the alternative media as the blessing that it is and use it correctly. And don't fall into the traps will get you into trouble, because this is only going to get worse in mm-hmm. terms of getting the government involved in the alternative media.
And control of the internet. And I think that's one of the missions of the they want control of the internet. They want control of what we're saying. They want control of the message, like they have control of the mainstream media. And one of the things that people want is to have that freedom. But you have to be smart. You can't be putting yourself in, breaking federal laws by using your mouth and threatening people or preventing people from going to work or going to school or working or just surviving and going to the grocery store in their. So be smart, people. That's all I can say is be smart. People need to be smart.
There you go. Well, thank you, Rebecca. It's always good to have you on the Rebecca Roth Show. I mean, it'd be very, very boring if it was the Ramjet Show. Nobody'd want to listen to that. And so it would be boring without you. So we'll close with our friend Frank, and we'll see you all later on YouTube.
All right.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away.